All right, welcome everybody to another deep dive. Today we're taking a look at a pretty important case out of Michigan, the Monat v. State Farm insurance case from the Michigan Supreme Court.
Yes.
And this case kind of digs into this idea of collateral estoppel
Right.
and how that plays out when you're talking about insurance.
Yes.
So really we're going to be talking about how the outcome of one court case
Okay.
can sometimes have some pretty crazy consequences
Yes.
on a totally separate case.
Yeah, definitely. And kind of in a way that maybe doesn't seem all that intuitive at first.
Right.
So, to set the stage, we has Mr. Munnett. He gets into a car accident
Okay.
and he sues the other driver, claiming that he was injured in this accident. So that case goes to trial, goes before a jury, and the jury comes back and says, nope, we don't think that Mr. Monnet was actually injured in this
So
accident.
you would think that would be the end of it, right? Like case closed, injury not injured, move on.
Right. You
Yeah.
would think that that would be the end of the story. But here is where things start to get really interesting.
Okay.
Mr. Monnet then files a claim with his own insurance company, State Farm,
Okay.
for what are called personal injury protection benefits, PIP benefits. And he's claiming these injuries from the same car accident.
Okay.
And State Farm essentially says, wait a minute, a court already said that you weren't injured in this accident, so why should we have to pay you for these benefits?
So that is the big question that we're going to try to unpack today because it's not immediately obvious, right?
Right.
Because State Farm, they weren't involved in that first lawsuit.
Right.
That was between Monet and the other driver. So how is it that a decision made in that case with totally different parties can then become this huge obstacle in Monet's case against his insurance company?
Yeah.
It's a little strange. So before we go any further, I think we need to really understand this idea of collateral estoppel.
Yes.
What is it? How does it work?
So collateral estoppel, it's kind of a way for the courts to avoid redundancy,
Right.
having to go over the same ground again and again.
Yeah.
And to make the best use of judicial resources and to bring finality to some of these legal issues.
Okay.
So, if a court has definitively decided a particular issue, collateral estoppel, which is also called issue preclusion,
Okay.
says that you can't argue that same issue again in a different case, at least not by the same parties.
Yeah.
Now, traditionally, there's a really important requirement for this to work, and it's called mutuality.
Mutuality. Okay, so what did that mean, like back in the day?
So mutuality essentially meant that for collateral estoppel to apply, both of the parties in that new lawsuit had to have been parties in the original lawsuit where that issue was first decided.
Okay.
So we think about the Monat situation. State Farm wasn't a party to that original lawsuit between Monat and the other driver.
Right.
So traditionally, you might think that collateral estoppel wouldn't even apply in that kind of situation.
Yeah. Right. But obviously Monat changed things, right? Like that's why we're here.
Yeah.
So how did Monat kind of mess with that traditional idea of mutuality?
So in the Monat case, the Michigan Supreme Court did move away from that strict mutuality requirement. But it's really important to pay attention to the specifics.
Okay.
They only got rid of that mutuality requirement for what's called defensive use of collateral estoppel.
Defensive use. Okay, what does that mean in this situation?
Yeah, so in this kind of scenario, defensive use means that a new defendant, in our case, State Farm, right? They're using a previous loss by the plaintiff.
Yeah.
So Monat losing on that question of his injuries in that first lawsuit.
Okay.
And State Farm's using that as a shield, essentially, to say, hey, look, you already had your chance. The court already decided you weren't injured. So we shouldn't have to relitigate that same issue.
Okay.
It's kind of like, let's say somebody sued you for saying something bad about their product, and then they lost that lawsuit.
Right.
Well, someone else can't come along, sue you for the exact same statement, and expect to just win automatically. That first loss is kind of like your defense.
Right. Okay. So State Farm is saying he had his day in court, tried to prove those injuries, it didn't work. We're using that as our defense.
Exactly.
Okay. I'm with you. So why did the Michigan Supreme Court decide to kind of shake things up? Why get rid of this mutuality rule?
Well, Justice Mark Fingman wrote the majority opinion in this case and laid out a few key arguments for this change.
Okay.
And maybe the biggest one was this idea of judicial efficiency.
Okay.
And their thinking was essentially, why should the legal system have to go back and re-examine the exact same question?
Right.
Was Monet injured in this accident?
Yeah.
When a jury already decided that very specific issue,
Right.
they said it was a waste of resources, it's inefficient to keep retrying the same thing.
Yeah. Why have two trials about the same thing?
Totally. So what else went into their decision besides just, you know, not wanting to waste time and resources? Well, another really important factor was this concept of a full and fair opportunity for the person who was being stopped from arguing that issue again.
Okay.
So in Monat's case, they said that he absolutely had a full and fair chance to prove that he was injured in that first lawsuit.
Yeah.
After all, he was the one who sued for damages in the first place.
Right.
Because of those injuries. So he had every reason to try and convince the jury that he was hurt.
Absolutely. Strong motivation.
Strong motivation. Now, there's also a detail about Monat's right to appeal in that first case. And that played a big part in how the court decided this one as well.
Yeah, I remember reading about that. Can you refresh my memory on that? What happened there?
Right. So Monat actually agreed to waive, give up, his right to appeal that jury's verdict in exchange for a guaranteed payment. So he knew he was going to get something no matter what.
Interesting.
And the court viewed that as a choice that Monat made strategically.
Okay.
He said, I'd rather take this guaranteed payout instead of rolling the dice on an appeal. And the court said, because he made that choice, it kind of reinforces the idea that he had a full and fair opportunity to litigate that injury question the first time around.
So are they saying he kind of like gambled and lost?
Basically, yeah. And one more thing that the court pointed out in the majority opinion is that Michigan isn't alone in this.
Okay.
Plenty of other state and federal courts have also decided to loosen up this mutuality rule.
Very interesting.
When it comes to using collateral estoppel defensively. So it's kind of like this is the modern approach to litigation.
Okay. But we did mention there was a dissenting opinion in this case.
Yes, absolutely.
So what did they think about all this? What were their hangups with the majority's decision?
Right. So Justice Kavanaugh wrote the dissenting opinion, and they were much more focused on fairness rather than just efficiency.
Okay.
Their argument was basically that it's not fair to let State Farm benefit from a verdict that they weren't even a part of.
Right.
They weren't involved in the case. They didn't risk losing.
They had no skin in the game, so to speak.
Exactly. They had no skin in the game.
Yeah.
And Justice Kavanaugh argued that the whole reason that mutuality rule existed in the first place was to make sure that things stayed fair.
Right.
So the dissent is basically saying that State Farm is getting a free pass. They're getting a win because of somebody else's legal battle.
And they didn't even have to do anything.
Exactly. And they also pointed out that this could lead to some, let's call it, strategic behavior from insurance companies.
Okay. What do you mean by that?
Well, under this new rule, it might actually make sense for insurance companies to just avoid getting involved in lawsuits that involve their insured people, hoping that the plaintiff will lose.
Interesting.
So they wait it out, see what happens. And then if the plaintiff loses on something important, like were you injured?
Yeah.
Then the insurance company can swoop in and say, well, the court already decided that. We're not paying.
So they're just waiting in the wings.
Exactly. And the dissent was worried that this kind of behavior, it could lead to some unfair results. And even more lawsuits in the long run. Because everybody's going to be arguing about whether the insurance company was being sneaky or not.
Right.
And whether the plaintiff really had a full and fair chance to argue their case the first time.
Yeah. Lots to think about.
Yeah.
So what does the legal landscape in Michigan look like now because of this case? How do courts figure out whether this collateral estoppel applies without mutuality?
Well, the Moen decision set up a two-part test for figuring that out.
All right.
First, the court's going to look at whether this is a defensive use of collateral estoppel.
Okay.
So is the new defendant, like State Farm, trying to stop the plaintiff from relitigating something that they already lost on?
Right.
And second, this is the really important part, they have to decide whether the person being prevented from relitigating, so in this case, Monat, whether he had a real chance, a full and fair opportunity to fight that issue in the previous case.
So I guess they would look at things like how motivated Monat was to win that first case and whether he was treated fairly in terms of legal procedures.
Exactly.
And of course, they're going to look at his decision to waive that appeal, right? Like all those things matter.
All those things factor into that analysis.
Okay. So I'm a law student listening to this. What does this all mean?
Well, for plaintiffs, this means that the stakes are higher now.
Okay.
If you're a plaintiff and you lose on a key fact, like whether you were injured, that could come back to bite you, even in lawsuits against completely different parties, like in this case, the insurance company.
Yeah.
So plaintiffs and their lawyers, they really need to think about the long game.
Right.
And the potential consequences of losing on something, even in what seems like an unrelated case.
I mean, this is a really good example, right, for all the law students listening,
right,
of how procedural rules like collateral estoppel can have a really, really big impact on your actual case strategy.
Absolutely.
Okay, so that's the plaintiffs. What about the defendants? What does this mean for them?
Well, the dissenting opinion brought up a good point.
Yeah.
Now, it might actually be a smart move for defendants, especially insurance companies,
right,
to just stay out of those early lawsuits involving people that they insure.
Right.
Because if the plaintiff loses, the insurance company can use that to their advantage.
Right.
Without having to spend any money or take on any risk in the first case.
They can just reap the benefits.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But they still have to prove to the court that the plaintiff had a full and fair opportunity to litigate that issue the first time.
Right. So there's that check in place.
Right.
So I'm guessing judges are probably going to see more of these types of arguments in their courtrooms now, right?
Oh, yeah. Most definitely. They're probably going to see a lot more motions that say, hey, we should just throw this case out because of collateral estoppel.
Right.
And there might be more appeals because people are going to be disagreeing about how to apply this full and fair opportunity standard in different cases.
It seems like Monat's decision to waive his right to appeal was a big deal for the Michigan Supreme Court, right? Like, they put a lot of weight on that.
Yeah, absolutely. The majority opinion specifically called out the fact that he chose to take that guaranteed payment and gave up his right to appeal.
Yeah.
And they said that this was a deliberate strategy, not some kind of sign that he didn't have a chance to fully argue his case.
Okay.
So that decision by Monat really helped them come to the conclusion that, yeah, he had a full and fair opportunity to make his case about being injured.
Okay. So we've covered a lot of ground today, but if we had to boil it all down for our listeners, what's the big takeaway here? What's the most important thing to remember about Monat v. State Farm?
I think the biggest change here is that the Michigan Supreme Court said efficiency is more important than the old mutuality rule.
Okay.
At least when we're talking about using collateral estoppel defensively.
Okay.
So they're saying, look, if a plaintiff already had a fair shot to argue their case and they lost, they shouldn't get to try again against a different defendant who's just using that first loss as a defense.
And I'm guessing this has some pretty big implications for PIP claims in Michigan, right? Like, that was the whole heart of this case.
Absolutely. It gives insurance companies a really powerful tool to deny benefits.
Right.
If their insured person already lost a case about whether they were injured.
Interesting. So the court really focused on the benefits of efficiency, but I think it's important to keep in mind what that dissenting opinion was saying.
Yes.
About potential unfairness and insurance companies maybe taking advantage of this new rule.
Absolutely. You always have to balance those competing interests.
Right.
The need to be efficient and the need to be fair.
Right. So to wrap things up, I think the message to all the aspiring lawyers out there is to really think about strategy early on.
Mm-hmm.
What seems like a small loss in one case can have some really big and unexpected consequences down the line.
Absolutely. Always think about what might come next.
All right. Well, that's our deep dive into Monat v. State Farm. Thanks for walking us through all of that.
It's been a pleasure.
So to leave everyone with a little something to ponder, we've been talking a lot about court cases, but let's think about settlements.
Right.
With this shift in collateral estoppel, how do you think this is going to affect settlement negotiations?
Right.
Especially in these really complicated cases with multiple parties and insurance companies involved.
Right.
You know, is this emphasis on efficiency? Is that going to create new opportunities for, you know, strategic maneuvering and maybe some ethical gray areas?
Mm-hmm.
It's a really tricky question, and I think one with some pretty big consequences.
Definitely a lot to think about.
All right. Thanks, everyone, for joining us on another deep dive. See you next time.
See ya.